Subject of highlights in the life of Christ, and tonight we want to have message number 14 on this subject. Let's take a swift review. In message number 12, we went here to John chapter 2 and picked it up about verse 13, which we'll be bouncing back to this in a moment. In message number 12, we looked at John chapter 2 and verse 13, where the Lord Jesus went to Jerusalem to observe the Passover. Now, you mustn't think that I'm telling you that this is the first Passover he had observed. As a dedicated, faithful Jew, grew up in a Jewish home, he observed every Passover unless they were sick or unable to get there. We read about him in a Passover over in the book of Luke as a 12-year-old lad with his foster father and his mother, and he wasn't even required for the mother to attend the Passover. So that shows the dedication of the family in which our Lord grew up. But in John 2, we found where the Lord went down to Jerusalem and there, for the first time, presented himself as Israel's Messiah at that Passover. We pointed out to you how it was standard rabbinical doctrine that whenever the Messiah came, he would appear at a Jewish Passover. And he does that. While he was there, he fulfilled the prophecy of Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, written 400 years prior, that said that that Messiah would suddenly appear and purge the temple. And he did that. He did purge the temple. Then we studied how he fell in conflict with the leaders of religion. We studied about how he made astounding statements and did astounding works. And then in message number 13, we read where there was a revered old Jew by the name of Nicodemus, a member of the Sanhedrin, a great honorable man who towered above all his fellow Sanhedrinists, and how as a result of seeing Christ perform and hearing Christ teach at that Passover, that's in John 2, we swing over into John 3, and Nicodemus comes and visits Christ at night. And we studied that. That's in message number 13. And we looked at the verses in John 3, verse 1 through verse 21. Now, with that little review, now remember, it's all on tape, and we try to give a little review so people can pick it up and go on with the next one. Tonight, we're looking at message number 14. Now, with the story of Nicodemus, with the event of Nicodemus in John chapter 3, with that true story, I pointed out to you with that, Christ had been in the ministry about 6 months. That's very critical that you get this. When Jesus met Nicodemus, or Nicodemus met Jesus, or they met each other, however it worked, when you get to John 3, remember our Lord's ministry was just about 6 months long up to that point. Now, it's vital that you lay hold on this if you're going to rightly divide it. Now, we pointed out to you over and over, we're going to show it to you tonight, how that our Lord's ministry, according to the New Testament, especially the book of John, our Lord's ministry was about 3.5 years in length, the time of his ministry. Now, please keep in mind, with Nicodemus, Jesus had been in the ministry 6 months. Therefore, when we step out of John 3 and go over into John 4, then obviously we are entering into the remainder 3 years of our Lord's ministry. Now, it's not hard to remember. A pencil will save you a lot of trouble marking down here. So when we're through with Nicodemus, and Jesus, in John chapter 4, the first few verses, he leaves Jerusalem. Now, the Jews said that Jerusalem did not belong to any tribe. They said that Jerusalem belonged to all the tribes, because it was the city of God and the house of God was there. And so when they're in Jerusalem, they're not in Issachar, they're not in Zebulun, they're not in Judea. When they're in Jerusalem, they're in a neutral zone. Now remember that in reading your Bible too. And so with John 3, when Jesus leaves Jerusalem, John 4 says he's over in Judea, which Jerusalem sat in Judea like Louisville is in Kentucky. So when he leaves Jerusalem, he steps outside the gates, he's in Judea. And John 4 says he leaves Judea and starts up into Samaria. Now with that, since we've had 6 months of ministry, we've got 3 years of our Lord's ministry left. Now from Nicodemus to the crucifixion, 3 years left. Keep that in mind, it'd be of tremendous help.
Now listen very carefully. I hope I'm not getting too technical. Everything written after Matthew 4, everything written after Mark 2, everything written after Luke 5, and everything written after John 3 must be fitted in to these 3 years of his ministry. Is that too technical for you? I'm trying to show you how to study the life of Christ and not get all bamboozled in it. The only way you can study the life of Christ is to fit his life into the four Passovers. The first one started in John 2:13, and there were three more Passovers after that, which was a total of four Passovers. So everything else after he leaves Nicodemus must be fitted in between the first and the second one, or the second and the third one, or the third one and the fourth one. And the entire life of Christ can be fit in this first year, this second year, or this third year, since the first 6 months of his ministry is already over. Now that's why we teach it to the students in Bible school. And if you can get that, man, look, you're over the hill. And if you don't fit it in that, the hill's over you. You can't get it. So with Nicodemus, we've got three more years. Now listen careful. In these 3 years, we find recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John at least 40 miracles Christ performed. They must be fitted into these 3 years. Now, he performed hundreds of thousands of miracles, but the Holy Ghost only seemed fit to record about 40. In these 3 years, we find the 50-some-odd parables or illustrated lessons that Jesus gave. They must be fitted into these 3 years too. In fact, everything he did and said after he finished with Nicodemus, I'm not talking about after he rose from the dead, up from then up to crucifixion, must be fitted in to these next 3 years. Now, that being so, do we realize what a treasure we have in these next 3 years? Look at it this way. All God wanted us to know about the next 3 years of Christ, he put it right there. The 40 miracles are there. The 50-some-odd parables are there. Everything he did and said, the Holy Spirit could have selected 9,000 miracles, 10,000 parables, but he only selected 40 of one and 50 of the other and recorded them in the next 3 years of Christ's ministry. The point I'm trying to make is, what a treasure for the Holy Spirit to pick these out of all the thousands and say, now these are the ones that I want written that fit between these 3 year period of time. And so therefore, when you finish with Nicodemus and you read year 1, year 2, year 3, you're reading out of the millions of things Christ did and said, you're reading only what God wants us to have. And it's put down here in what we call the four Gospels. A man said that to me a long time ago, Brother Fraze, and I've never got that out of my craw. That's been a permanent challenge to me. Keep in mind that little statement that we've made. Now, I've been asked, Brother Pike, how can you figure 3 years of ministry? All right, you have your Bible to John 2. We're going to show you how we figure 3 years of ministry from the New Testament. 3 years of ministry. All right, in John chapter 2 and verse 13, here's what it says. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, we pointed out, always in a Jew estimation, you had to go up to get to Jerusalem. Even though you didn't go up, you still had to go up, because that was the top of the world in their religious philosophy. Now, here's the first Passover. I've said this probably 30 times. Jesus attends and presents himself as the Messiah, the Moshiach, a Meshiach of Israel, the Messiah. He presents himself as such there. Now, from this Passover, there was a second Passover, a third Passover, and a fourth Passover. And at the fourth Passover, Christ became the Passover Lamb. And in God's estimation, that culminated a Passover Lamb, literally, for believers. So in John 2:13, we find the first one. Now, I'm going to read you where we find the second one, where we find the third one, and where we find the fourth one. Now, look real good, everybody. How many fingers am I holding up here? Well, four. Of course, four. See, four fingers. Now, look here. There was the first Passover, the second, the third, the fourth. So there's 1 year between that. There's 1 year between that one, 2 years between that one. How many years? 3 years. I mean, unless you're a first-class goofball, that's 3 years That's how he made his ministry, between four Passovers. The Passover usually fell in April, still does today, of every year. It was an annual thing, a yearly thing. All right? Now, I realize in Jewish history, and a lot of people miss this in reading Jewish history, I realize that the rabbins of these days, the Sanhedrin, had decreed that there could be an extra Passover for Jews who couldn't make it. The ship sunk. They got delayed. They fell sick on the way. They couldn't make it. And it is a historical fact that they had sort of a mini Passover in an excluded place for the Jews who pitched up late at Jerusalem. But that's not the Passover of Leviticus 23. We're talking about the four. So Christ goes to the first one in John 2:3. All right, look at John 5:1. John 5:1. Here's the next one coming up. Our number two. Now we're going from John 2 to John 5. That's the first year between that section. John 5:1. And after it says, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now some people say that's not a Passover. It is a Passover. Because in other places, John says, the Passover, the Feast of the Jews. Another place, he just calls it the Feast of the Jews. Some place, he leaves the word, the descriptive noun, Passover, out, and just calls it a Feast of the Jews, because that's how they understood it. So from John 2 to John 5:1, we have Passover 1, Passover 2. All right? Go to John 6:4. Let me show you the third Passover. Now imagine between chapter 5 and verse 1 to chapter 6, and verse 4, we have a whole year in John's book. Get that? A whole year from 5:1 to 6:4, a whole year. You say, where do we get the information about that year? We fill it in from Matthew, from Mark, from Luke, from John. Matthew, Mark, Luke. We fill it in. All right, here's the third Passover. Verse 4. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Another one up. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw the great company. Josephus says up to 3 million Jews attended. That's hundreds of thousands of Jews. Every road was packed with pilgrims going to Jerusalem. Every road was packed. I pointed out to you how that little boys would get out on the table and sell dried fish and bread. Hey, did you get that? Dried fish and bread. Hope you got that. And here it is, the Passover. And the next verse after that, here comes a little lad with 7 loaves and 2 fishes. What's he doing out there? I'll tell you what he's doing out there. He's a hawker. We call him that in Australia. He's a salesman. And to the Jewish pilgrims, they're selling. They had their stalls, their water booths, place to take baths and so forth all along the way. And this little guy happened to be out there selling. I've heard preachers preach on that. And brother, when they get through that little boy, you think he worked for Sears and Roebuck and was on retirement or worked for Shoney's Cafeteria or something. The little kid was out there doing what little Jew boys did, and he happened to be... That's the reason it says in the next verse, when Jesus saw the great multitudes. What were the multitudes? The multitudes going down to Jerusalem to keep the Passover. That's exactly what he's talking about. So that's the third one. Now go with me, please, over to John chapter 11, and let's get the fourth Passover. If you're marking your Bible, here's the 3 years. If you're not marking them, then you're real smart and you'll remember it. All right, look at John 11 and verse 55. So, between 6:4 and 11:55, we have a whole year of his ministry. Now, here's the fourth Passover. Here's where Christ became the Lamb. This one is also mentioned in 12:1 and 13:1, but they're all the same. All right, look at John 11:55. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem, etc. There's the masses of all the 7 calendar celebrations of the great nation of Israel. There was none that they loved like the Passover. And then probably second was the tabernacle. And so here we have John 2:3, the first one. The second one is John 5:1. The third one is John 6:4. And the fourth one is John 11:55. Now, if you want to study the life of Christ, then mark those four Passovers, and between a couple of them, John has a few chapters, the place 1 chapter and the place 7 chapters. And you say, well, Brother Randy, how do you fit everything in? One more time, you have to be skillful and find out what Matthew said, where it fits, what Mark said, where it fits, what Luke says, where it fits. And between the Passovers as milestones, you can fit the four Gospels, or at least mostly, you can fit them in between the Passover, and you can build a fairly honest picture of the life of Christ around the Passovers. Now, do you understand that? Good. All right, let's pass out the papers and have a test. No, we won't do that. Look at there. 3 fainted and 4 heart attacks. No, we won't. I hope you, Anyway, I guess it's important to the preacher. I wish people would really, the Jehovah's Witness pitch up on the doorsteps, and when they're, after about 30 minutes, the average Baptist or Presbyterian is so torn up and disturbed, he has to almost go on Valium or morphine to get him back in order, and he can't have, here comes the demons up, and they, with their lies and blaspheming, they so tear up saved people with their junk. You know why they tear us up? Because, brother, we don't know that. You know, the truth is, brother, you ought to give them something to pack off in their crawl. That's the truth. You ought to be able to give them something. Do we know the basics, or don't we know the basics? We wonder about it. Now, I know there's a lot of repetition tonight, but I'm hurrying for the place that I've been wanting to hurry to. All right, now one more time. This is about the 6th time. Repetition has been the vehicle to perpetuate truth over the centuries. Now, one more time. In John 2:13, Christ showed up at the temple at Jerusalem and there presented himself publicly, acted according to Old Testament predictions, and claimed to be the Messiah of Israel in John chapter 2. Of course they rejected him. Of course they wouldn't have it. Still the same today. So, in John 2, he showed up as a Messiah. In John 5, he's back healing a man at the pool of Bethesda. He ends up in the Sanhedrin court. And again, he presents himself as the Messiah. The Sanhedrin, it says, at this time were ready to kill him. And he had to flee. Why did they kill him? Because he was a carpenter? Why did they want to kill him? Because he hadn't put up buildings right? Why did they kill him? Because he'd broken the Mosaic law? No, man. Because he said, I'm your Messiah. That's in John 5. And then in John 6, Christ did not attend the Passover in John 6. He did not attend that one. And the reason is very clear. At least 6 times in the gospel, it says they sought to kill him. They sought to kill him. They sought to kill him. He attended the first one. He attended the second one. He did not attend the third one. He stopped the crowds on the road. Listen, going to the Passover, stopped the crowds on the road, took seven loaves, 7 and 2, and he fed thousands and thousands and sent them down to Jerusalem to say, hey, we met a man on the road and he performed this miracle. Isn't that interesting? So he did not attend the third Passover because his life was in danger. Now, here's a good lesson for Baptists. Baptists will sort of, run and beat on the gates of hell. They're not afraid of anything. That's how stupid some of them are. I want to tell you something. I've noticed that Christ did not go where angels wouldn't tread. Because Christ was a human. There are times in our lives, and I know people say, well, God looks over me and God takes care of me. Now, we know that. But if you get out here on Highway 65 just outside Louisville at 8:15 in the morning and you're going to close your eyes and walk across that highway and expect God to take care of you, you think God's going to take care of you? Well, I'll tell you, they'll come through a Dominion truck line and they'll flatten you like a flitter is what they'll do, and you'll never get unflattened. And so this being, God expects us to use common sense. And so Jesus knew that his life was in danger. He knew that the Sanhedrin was hostile. He knew that things were bad. As they say in Australia, they were crook. And Jesus did not go down, but he performed a miracle and sent the crowds down to represent him at Jerusalem. And then when we get to John 11, this is the last Passover. And our Lord does go to that one. Because at that one, he will be the Lamb. Are you following me now? Now, here's what I want to do now, and I'm going to try to do this real quickly, Ron, so you time me on it. What I want to do, I hope you're following me, I want to take you between the first year and the second year, between year 1 and year 2, that's John 2 and John 5, and I want to just name a few great things he did in the first year. And then I want to go over to the second year, without talking about him, and name a few great things he did. And then I want to go to the third year and name a few great things that he did. And then I really want to start where he went into the temple for the last time. And then follow it step by step to his crucifixion. And then I'm going to take you after his resurrection some 38, 40 years later to the destruction of the temple. But Titus in 70, I'm going to show you a picture of Titus. I got his picture. I'm going to show you a picture of Josephus. He's a skinny little bloke. Looks like you can stick him in your pocket. I'm going to show you a picture of stone bust. We've got some negatives laid out for you on these. So, first of all, what did Jesus do in the first year? Now, I can't read them all. I've gone through the harmony and tried to highlight just a few. Now, listen, in that first year, of course, he met Nicodemus. After Nicodemus, the Samaritan woman. Boy, I had a temptation not to preach on that one. And then after the Samaritan woman, he returns to his hometown synagogue, and he gets up and quotes from Isaiah 61 and says, I'm your Messiah, that's been fulfilled in me, and they took him, going to chuck him off the back hill and kill him. That's what they did in his hometown synagogue. He was a methurgeman. He was a reader. In the synagogues, the old rabbi selected seven youth. And there was just one synagogue in Nazareth. Just one. And Jesus grew up in that synagogue. His half-brothers grew up in that synagogue. His two half-sisters grew up in the synagogue. And the old rabbin selected seven young people of impeccable character that were clean and honest. And they were they were readers of the Scripture. And when Jesus returned to his hometown synagogue, the old rabbi said, come on, read. Glad you're back home again. And he got up and he turned to Isaiah 61. He read and he said, this day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears. And boy, they rose up and said, you're a dumb carpenter. You grew up around here. We knew you. What are you talking about? And then he picked out two Gentiles and said, God bless the Gentiles more than the Jews. And they took him and said, kill him! And they were going to throw him off the hill. And he miraculously vanished and made his way. Now, all this happened in that first year. And then one more thing. After that, he goes up to Capernaum. He shifts his headquarters from Nazareth to Capernaum when they try to kill him in his hometown synagogue. He shifts to Capernaum. And then he starts his ministry. I've counted at least eight times that he made preaching tours. And the writer said, all the synagogues, all the synagogues, all the synagogues of Galilee. Now, he did that in the first year. Now, between these two. Now, during that first year, his popularity flourished. He had, I illustrated this morning with the people, you've seen an American football stadium on a Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon. You've seen 80,000, 100,000. Now, if you want to multiply that and quadruple that, then you've got the crowd. Now, I know what the writers say. I know what the liberals say. I know what the modernists say. And I don't pay no attention to what they say. Okay? And when that first year, Jesus had hundreds of thousands following him. His popularity was soared. If you'll trace the geography, the cities that they came from the four directions of the earth, wherever the known world was at that time. So the first year was popular, 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 popular. Now what about between year 2 and 3? What about this second year here, between Passover 2 and Passover 3? Let me show you a few things he did in this second year. Now listen to it. First of all, he healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. He claimed to be the Messiah. Kill him. All right? Second, he called the 12 out of the masses to be near to him. You can't serve God unless you're near to Jesus anyhow. Number 3, he preached a fantastic sermon on the mount. Number 4, he raised the widow's son. Luke 7. Number 5, he made many preaching tours across Galilee. Number 6, that's when he fed the 5,000. Number 7, he calmed the sea. Number 8, he walked on the sea. Number 9, in John 6, he preached in the synagogue and busted the service up and everybody stormed out because he was preaching, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And his own 12 disciples, apostles started to leave him. And poor old Simon Peter saved the day. Now, that's a few things that happened in the second year. Now, let me show you the third year. A few more things. Now, here, the first year, the second year. Now, between the third year to the crucifixion, here's a few things he did. He fed the 4,000. A lot of people don't know he fed 5,000 and then 4,000. And then we have Peter's confession in Matthew 16. Who do men say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, Christos. The word Christ means Messiah. Thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The modernists say that the Jews didn't claim Christ to be the Son of the living God. Peter said he was, and Jesus Christ agreed with him. I'll take what the Scriptures say against this thing here. My. The great transfiguration occurred. Oh, what a thing to talk about. Peter goes fishing to pay his taxes. You try that and see how far you get. Eh? You tell the Internal Revenue Service guy that. He'll take you fishing to the cleaners. He goes to the Feast of Tabernacles. He sends the 70 out. He heals the 10 lepers. Now, we're getting closer and closer to the last Passover. These are in chronological order. Closer. The woman taken in adultery, John 8, that was about 3 months before Jesus was crucified. Boy, it's good to know that. It's good to put it in its chronological perspective. And just a bit more for you. He gives a parable, Tony, that you taught on for about 9.5 years here. You know, the lost sheep, the lost coin. He gave that just before the cross. He blessed the little children. The rich young ruler came to him. This, just a few months before his crucifixion, he calls Zacchaeus out of the sycamore tree. A few months before his crucifixion. And then one of the last things he did before his crucifixion, he raised Lazarus from the dead. And because he raised Lazarus from the dead,